So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
Good evening, Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here on Medical Frontiers. And we were talking a little earlier, we did a little tease that it was a great weekend for the Pirates. And the weather is pretty warm here. I have some friends in Florida, and we were having much harder weather than they are having in Florida, just like we traded.
Well, they can take some of the rain.
Traded climates. And tonight on Medical Frontiers, we're going to be talking about the rebuild of the radiology area at Allegheny General Hospital. And I was telling our guest, I think this is probably the fifth rebuild that I can recall of the radiology department. And I was filling him on some history that he didn't know, where the original radiology department was, et cetera. And it was great having that conversation. And I was telling Rob that it's very important for hospitals to keep on the cutting edge. And so that means being able to have enough capital to do renovations, buy new equipment, replace older equipment, et cetera, et cetera. It's all part of the improvement of healthcare for our patients. And we're very fortunate tonight to have the newly appointed chairman of the Department of Imaging, Radiology Imaging at AHN, Dr. Jeffrey Mueller. And Dr. Mueller has been on Medical Frontiers before, prior to the pandemic and so on. But radiology, like so many other things in medicine, there have been tremendous changes. Welcome back to Medical Frontiers.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so when did this rebuild start, Dr. Mueller? When was it decided? You've been there for almost 20 years now. When was it decided, and there's been some, I think, renovation even prior to this, but when was it decided that, hey, we need to bring this up to, you know, the 21st century?
Well, it all started around 2017, when we realized that we needed to update the equipment and bring AGH up to, you know, the 21st century by completely overhauling the department and supporting all the advanced care that's going on right now at Allegheny General. And so we started looking at all of our equipment and quickly realized that we had a lot of work to do. So we started planning it, and it's been a long road since then.
Well, and the thing of it is, you still have to be able to work day to day. And so it's like living in your house and completely doing it over.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, Highmark and AHN, they wouldn't let us shut the hospital down. So, you know, we have to continue to take care of those patients and at the same time try to update the space and the equipment. So try to do both at the same time is like renovating your kitchen. I mean, it's a little inconvenient.
And still being able to cook.
And still being able to cook. That's right.
Yeah. And so that takes a lot of cooperation between the contractors and the certainly people that are doing their job on a day-by-day basis and so on, staying out of the way. And you also have, you know, when you don't take walls down and so on without dust and dirt, so you have to be careful about that in a hospital, just like you would in your home. And so that's a big thing. And so it's actually more expensive than starting all over, building a new building, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, it's there's really no other place to take care of a lot of those patients, right? So we didn't have the luxury of being able to shut the hospital down. That would have been the easier choice, right? Just to shut the hospital down and then just completely start over.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that luxury, unfortunately. We had to take care of the patients as we completed the renovations.
Well, I can remember when we first got our first CAT scan, our first MRI. Now those are basically old school. We're talking about all kinds of different imaging, you know, PET scans and so on since then. But you have to keep up. You have to be able to provide the best for our patients. And this equipment is not cheap. And for sure, we're talking about millions of dollars, not hundreds of thousands, but millions of dollars to replace the equipment. And is there a market for the older equipment, like in foreign countries, that type of thing? I know at one time, I knew a fellow who actually took imaging equipment, made sure that it was working well and up to the specs and everything, and shipped it all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, we have definitely sent some of our older equipment to Africa or other underserved areas in the world. Old ultrasound machines that are portable. You know, they're easy to wheel and get on a plane and take off a plane, for sure. But most of the equipment is, you know, usually gets scrapped or gets reutilized for new equipment.
Sure. And the newer equipment also, and I spend some time on Wednesdays at the Pediatric Orthopedic Center in Wexford, working with the first-year orthopedic residents. And when that was built out, the X-ray machine there was one of the first local low-dose X-ray machines and so on. Tell us a little bit about that and why that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of X-rays that we use in medical imaging, you know, use radiation or X-rays. And most of medical radiation is very low dose. It's really the equivalent of, you know, going on an airplane or, you know, tanning yourself for a few hours because we get natural occurring radiation, especially here in Western Pennsylvania. And so a lot of the X-rays that we get come from those lower dose radiation. And so, you know, obviously we want to make sure that we use as low as dose as possible, right, when we're imaging patients so that we do it safely. So, you know, with the newer technology, with X-ray and with CAT scan, with angiography, we've really been able to significantly lower the radiation doses that we're using.
I know back in the day, when fluoroscopy was first doing procedures and so under fluoroscopy, the patients and the users weren't protected as well as they should, and so on. And I know in the dental industries, dentists used to hold bite wings in their hand while they shot an X-ray, and so many dentists ended up with cancer for their hands because of the accumulative dose that you get, you know, whenever you're around X-ray. And so you have to not only protect the patients from excess radiation, but also the users. Very important.
Yeah, for sure. And we certainly, you know, prioritize safety. We have a radiation safety committee and an officer who they do regular audits of the equipment and of the personnel who are utilizing the equipment and make sure that there's no excessive radiation to either the providers or the physicians who are operating the equipment or the technologists or the patients themselves. But again, a lot of the doses that we're talking about today are fractions of what we used to do. So certainly a much safer environment now.
And everyone works around that equipment has a dosimeter that they wear. And so it tells them and the administrators of the department and so on whether or not they are being careful around the X-ray equipment. And some people, you can't see it. And so sometimes people get a little cavalier about it and so on. And you can't do that because it is accumulative.
Yeah, we actually require that all providers take have annual training so that they know exactly, you know, the sensitivity of the x-rays and to try to, again, to try to minimize the dose and maximize the image quality, right? Just try to answer the question that we're trying to answer.
Okay, well, this is Medical Frontiers. Tonight we have the pleasure of having the head of the Department of Radiology at AHN. And give us a call at 866-391-1020. If you have any questions about the various imaging instruments that are out there or that type of thing, the expert is in the studio tonight, 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Okay, we are back on Medical Frontiers, and we're talking about imaging and what AHN and AGH has done in renovating and rebuilding and all that as far as imaging facilities concerned. And it's state-of-the-art, and probably be another year when it's completely done, but it's in the process of getting done. Why don't we go to Kate as our first caller. Good evening, Kate. Do you have a question?
Oh, thank you so much. First, I want to say thank you for the program, the topic for tonight, and I think it's just phenomenal the work the radiologists do, and I, for one, am appreciative. I have a question about something I don't know about, and that is, does Pennsylvania or does AHN have a program where people can come in off the street without a physician order and get a coronary calcium CT scan for scoring?
Okay. How about that, Dr. Wheeler?
Great question. So, yes, we do offer coronary calcium scoring. It is a great test. It's used to estimate your risk for having coronary disease. You know, traditionally, your doctor will assess your risk factors for coronary disease, such as high blood pressure, smoking history, family history, your cholesterol, that sort of thing. But for some of those patients, if your doctor or your cardiologist thinks it's indicated, a coronary artery calcification score or test, which is done under a CAT scanner, is a great way to really better delineate what your overall risk is. Right now, a lot of those tests are covered by insurance now. It didn't used to be covered by insurance. It is covered by insurance. If you do not have health insurance, we do have some programs at AHN for those without health insurance, and we can certainly provide more information about that. I don't have that with me right now, but we do have some programs for
and
those.
That's a voucher program, right?
Yes.
Same thing with mammography, that type of thing.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And we also offer self-pay rates as well if you want to pay out of pocket. But if you do have health insurance, I think a lot of payers are covering it.
Yeah.
And do you have a program where you do not need a physician's order or no for this?
Yes, that's a great question. Since it is an x-ray producing exam, we do require a physician order for that test.
Okay, and is that a state of Pennsylvania regulation? Because I know some of the states in the United States, you can literally walk in without a physician order and pay a cash price, even, you know, if you don't want to run it through your insurance. And I found that intriguing, and I thought, boy, I wonder how many lives would be saved if we could have that same process in Pennsylvania.
I do not know for sure, but I think you are correct. I think it's the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection who requires a physician order for any radiation-producing exam.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. And so that's a non-invasive study. It really doesn't take the place of coronary angiography, but it is another exam that can lead you to a direction of a diagnosis and perhaps still need a coronary angiogram after that. If it's a positive test, you may need, but it's a good screening test.
Yeah, it's an excellent screening test. Yeah. And again, it's really to assess your risk. You know, what is your risk for having a heart attack? And should you be modifying some of your risk factors or be on medication?
Okay.
So it really helps supplement our traditional, what we call Framingham risk factors, which again is the hypertension, obesity, family history, cholesterol, those types of things.
I know AGH has had a very active cardiac MRI imaging effort also, and And how is that working out? How is the MRI in this category of making a diagnosis of heart problems and so on? We have coronary angiography, we have the calcium study with the CAT scan and so on. And so where does that fit in the armamentarium of making a diagnosis?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you know, AGH is a major cardiovascular center. And so we do offer both CT and MRI for the assessment of cardiac disease. And we talked about calcium scoring, but we also offer coronary CTA, which is a way to look at your coronaries with dye, and we can non-invasively estimate the percent of stenosis or how severe your coronary disease is, as well as we have cardiac MRI, which is really good for what we call structural heart disease.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
For those patients who, you're trying to get a better assessment for what their function is of their heart, or are there intrinsic abnormalities in the heart that the cardiologist can better treat. So yeah, we offer both of those.
And the structural abnormalities include the valves of the heart, and whether or not they are competent or incompetent, that type of thing. So if you have all of these things plus an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart, and even with the metabolic studies also with MRI and everything, you can really narrow down and be pretty good about making an absolute as close to perfect diagnosis for an individual patient with all these things available.
Yes. I mean, we live in exciting times. I will tell you that the pace of medical innovation right now is staggering. And so, that was one of our main goals with this renovation is to put AGH at the top of medical care and to work collaboratively with our other institutes, like our Cardiovascular Institute, our Oncology and Cancer Institute, our Neuroscience Institute, to work together to provide better diagnosis and treatment for our patients.
Right. And what about radiation oncology? Is that part of the renovation and rebuild?
So that is separate. So they actually did a major renovation in the new cancer center in the front of Allegheny General Hospital. And so, the radiation oncology was part of that renovation, and they have their own suite of patients in there.
Okay, they've already done their high-tech.
if you need cancer treatment, AGH is a great place to go.
Okay, well, we need to take a break, and again, this is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about AGH imaging and the radiology department renovation rebuild, and we have the head of the Department of Radiology here, Dr. Jeffrey Mueller, and he's been there for a couple decades now and is heading up the oversight of this, and it's really amazing. It will soon be completely done, and it's quite a headache going through that. But 866-391-1020 is how you can talk to Dr. Mueller this evening. 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network.
Okay, we're back on Medical Frontiers, and we're talking about the renovations of the imaging areas of AGH, and just found out during the break that this also includes West Penn and Jefferson Hospital, so there's three sites being worked on at the same time, and so you must have some daily headaches.
You got that right.
All in all, has it been as smooth as you can possibly make it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we certainly have had great teams. Our project managers, our hospital CEOs, our design teams that we contracted out with, certainly our managers. It's been a team effort. But when you see these spaces, I mean, they're incredible. I mean, you come right off the elevator and registration's right there. Like, there's no wandering down hallways trying to find a desk or someone to help you. Like, it's very clear where you need to go, and it's very inviting. It's very warm, and the, you know, the corridors are brand new, the equipment's brand new. So it's just a very different feel than it used to be. And so I definitely encourage people to come in and see the new space at West Penn, definitely at AGH, and soon to be Jefferson here.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. It's just it's just amazing. We talked show just recently about 3D mammography, and that seems to be the gold standard now. Most women get 3D routine mammography.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think and most, you know, pretty much all the facilities now will offer that. But certainly, when you call in to schedule your mammogram, definitely make sure that it's 3D. It's just a more comprehensive exam than the old 2D mammography was.
Okay. We talked a little bit about ultrasound, but this is it's a growing field. There's more and more studies are being done ultrasonography-wise, and AGH was one of the first hospitals in the area that had cardiac echocardiography. Dr. Claude Joyner came from the University of Pennsylvania and was the head of medicine at AGH for years, and he brought ultrasound to Pittsburgh, you know, and the machines were, you know.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Very, very large, and only special people would look and actually recognize what it was. Now, they're in color, and the imaging is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. What I love about ultrasound is that it doesn't use radiation. It uses sound waves. It's the same technology that for Doppler, for like a weather radar, or that your airline pilot uses to, you know, see where he's going in the air. It's a tremendous technology, and yes, it has come in a long, long way, and it's completely safe. So, you know, it's a great tool to image, you know, pregnant mothers. It's a great tool to look at the abdomen, the thyroid. We use it now with joints, you know, to help to diagnose joint tears, particularly in the shoulder, you know, and anything vascular as well, or as you said, cardiac. It's just a great test, and again, it doesn't use radiation, so it's extremely safe and portable.
I think as an orthopedist, I think as far as the shoulder is concerned, I mean, I think it's the go-to modality for diagnosing rotator cuff tears and that type of thing. You don't need a more expensive MRI if you have a good ultrasound of the shoulder and a good ultrasonographer and a good radiologist, you know, reading the imaging and so on. It's really incredible. And when you have trouble finding a vein for somebody for an intravenous fluid or for drawing blood or whatever, you can do an ultrasound and a little portable wand and see right where that vein is. And so it's amazing how the technology goes from one place to another. You know, years ago, you wouldn't even think that somebody would get started IV using an ultrasound wand.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, yeah, as you said, for shoulder, for rotator cuff tears, it's quick. You know, it's not like an MRI where sometimes you have to lay in there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and we know with the loud noises and have to lay still. I mean, the ultrasound's fast, and if you have a skilled ultrasonographer technologist and you have a skilled orthopedist or radiologist who understands the anatomy, it can be very quick and very definitive sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. What do you, hopefully we're not going to need this type of rebuild for another maybe couple decades, but what do you see out there in the future in this whole field of radiographic imaging, all the modalities that we've talked about, where do you see that in 10, 15 years?
Yeah, so certainly there's a huge push for what we call minimally invasive treatment, right? Whether that's for cardiovascular disease with like a cardiac catheterization, or doing endoscopes for joints, or endoscopy. But there's a push to do less and less invasive surgery. So the beauty of imaging is it gives you a precise diagnosis, a precise roadmap, and you can use that imaging to guide the surgery. A great example is what we call our TAVR program, which is our transcatheter aortic valve program, where you're not going in for open heart surgery anymore, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going under anesthesia. You're not going, under general anesthesia. You're in and out of the hospital on the same day. You get a CAT scan and an echo to look at your heart and make sure you're a candidate. But they'll do a minimally invasive approach, and they'll put a brand new aortic valve in you, and then you're home. And there's no rehab, there's no ICU, and you're good to go. And it's just miraculous. And I see that really expanding into all areas.
And that's an overnight stay, right?
Sometimes not even overnight stay. Sometimes these people are going home the same day now.
It's kind of interesting. When that first came out, it was for high-risk patients, patients who really couldn't be put under anesthesia for several hours to have the aortic valve replaced, and maybe they had COPD also, diabetes, whatever, but they were high-risk. And it worked so well that even low-risk patients, if they only have an aortic stenosis, and everything else is fine, they're not a diabetic, they don't have any other heart disease or anything, that's the best procedure for them.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, to see these patients, I don't see a lot of these patients face-to-face, but the three that I have seen, you'll see people who can't get out of a wheelchair, or they're stuck in a hospital bed, and literally they're walking, maybe a few weeks after the procedure, and it's quite amazing.
My father, when he was 76, he was diagnosed with pretty severe aortic stenosis, and he was actually brought into the hospital to be tuned up so he could have open valve replacement. And he wasn't getting any better. He was so severe that no matter what they did, so they went ahead and did him. Fortunately, he did very well, and he in the recovery room, he said, "I feel better," And he lived another 10 years with a big valve, and so it's just absolutely amazing. And and that's one of the things that's exciting about medicine in general, is that you have to keep learning day by day by day. Some of the things that you're seeing, you had no training in your residency at all. I didn't have any training in joints. That all came after I started practice. I didn't have arthroscopies; just came along at the same time, and so I think it's exciting because you can always, there's something to learn every day, and our patients who are willing to sign up for clinical trials and that type of thing. I always like to give a shout out to them because they don't have to do that. But, it's important. And you have patients who are willing to be somewhat of a research object with these, whether it's medicine, surgery, or whatever. And it ends up, look at this. You would never, 20, 25 years ago, you'd never think you're going to replace an aortic valve through the groin and go home the same day.
We were part of those first TAVR trials. It's very important. Clinical trials are very important. And because of those clinical trials, now it's a routine procedure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just amazing to be a part of that and see that. We need to take our last break. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about imaging and AHN and what it's done with some of the hospitals in the AHN network. And we're very fortunate to have Dr. Jeffrey Mueller here, the head of the Department of Radiology, chair of the Department of Radiology for AHN. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. It's your last chance to get in the queue, 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Okay, we're back for our last segment of Medical Frontiers, talking about the imaging effort at AHN, AGH, et cetera. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. And let's go to Joe. Joe, you are caller of this last segment. What's your question?
Yeah, hello. I understand that Allegheny Health Network has a way of treating arthritis with radiation. It's done through the radiation oncology department rather than joint replacement. What can you tell me about this?
Well, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We had the director of radiation oncology, and it's kind of interesting. During the break, Dr. Miller and I were talking about that, and this is relatively new, right, Dr. Miller?
Yeah. So I, radiology split a number of decades ago into two parts. One was the therapeutic side of radiology, what we call radiation oncology, and the other side was what we call the diagnostic and interventional side of radiology. And so that's a whole nother specialty now, and that's actually under a totally different department. But yes, I have heard that, but I don't have any additional information on that right now.
Yeah, well, what we talked about a couple of weeks ago was, yes, it can help. If you're bone on bone, you don't have any cartilage left, it probably isn't going to give you much relief. But if you have some inflammation due to the arthritis, say early rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory arthritis, low-dose radiation can certainly be tried. And this is very, very quick. It's low dose. It doesn't take hours like therapeutic doses for cancer, that type of thing. And in the early studies showed that it can give some relief. Is it going to replace total joint surgery? No, because if you're bone on bone, there isn't a whole lot that you can do other than replacing the joint. So, but if it's early and you have inflammation of the knee, it certainly can be tried. Does that answer your question, Joe?
Yes. Yeah, very much. Thank you for all the information. I will pursue this with the radiation oncology department then. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. One of the other things is plantar fasciitis, painful in the sole of your foot, the Dupuytren's contracture that you get of your hands. It's being used in these areas early on, and it shows that it certainly can have some effect. And so that's great. One of the reasons that medicine is so much fun, because you would never intuitively think that low-dose radiation could help. High-dose radiation can cause inflammation. Low-dose radiation can help with inflammation. It's kind of interesting. And that's something you can't see.
Right.
It's there, but you can't see it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you have to be careful with radiation. It can be, your tissues can be very sensitive to it, particularly at the higher doses that they use on the therapeutic side. And so obviously going to train personnel and ran a radiation oncology type department, facility that is adequately, accredited and certified is certainly highly recommended there. And again, with the levels of radiation that we do on the diagnostic side, or on the procedural side, are very, very low, but we certainly monitor very closely.
I ask you during the break if we have enough radiologists. You say no. There's 3,500 vacancies for radiology physicians across the country, and about 1,000 are graduating each year. So it's not enough supply for the need. But tell us a little bit about the training of a radiologist. Once you go to medical school and so on, how long does it take and on? And then there's subspecialties and on.
Yeah, right. So you complete medical school like any other physician, and then typically it's about 6 years of training. So the first year is a clinical year where you're on the wards rotating through different areas, whether it be surgery or medicine or emergency medicine, maybe family medicine, pediatrics. And you do that for 1 year, just kind of get like a base understanding of medicine. And then it's 4 years of residency. And that's where you really learn more about the actual modalities, as we've talked about today, like the CAT scan, the MRI, the ultrasound. And so it's 4 years and you have to take a couple exams you have to pass. And then typically we recommend that they do 1 year of fellowship in an area of specialty. So for like for myself, I did a year of cardiothoracic imaging, and I also did a year of breast imaging as well. But we certainly recommend people specialize in certain areas, whether it be interventional radiology or bone and joint radiology, abdomen and pelvis, or neuro radiology of the brain and the spinal cord. So it's about 6 years, so it's a lot of training.
And how about pediatric radiology? Is that another year?
Yeah, pediatric is another one, and actually can be very challenging. You know, the nice thing about Pittsburgh is we have one children's hospital, and so, you know, a lot of the radiologists will work there, and we have networks, so we can read studies from all over. So that's a nice part about being in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were saying during the break, too, that radiologists can actually work remotely because we don't use film anymore. It's all digitized, and so everything is in that in that computer memory. And so, no matter where you are, you can pick up an image of that was done this morning on your phone if you can get into the system.
It's quite remarkable, actually. That allows us to really read the cases a lot faster than we used to be able to read them in the past. Like if you come in the emergency department now and they want to get a CAT scan or an X-ray, that may be read by someone who's sitting in Hawaii or someone who's sitting in Florida. And that report usually gets turned around in less than 30 minutes and the doctor gets the report and then they can make decisions on that. But, you know, the good news is patients get their reports, you know, real time now, at least in the acute care setting. The bad news is I never really get a break. I go home, I have dinner, and then, you know, hey, you want to get on here and read some cases for us?
Yeah.
So you never really totally get away from the job sometimes.
But you don't have the films that you have to carry around. You know, patients can carry a disc with all their information from facility to facility and so on. It's really amazing when you think about the technology that has happened over the last several decades.
It's truly remarkable. Yeah, I mean, the ability to obviously take these exams, you know, in a digital format, so you don't need films anymore,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can get on a computer and you can visualize it.
Okay.
Makes it a lot faster.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Dr. Buehler, for being our guest tonight. It's great to see you again, and everything that has happened with AHN and AGH. This is Medical Frontiers saying good night. We'll be back in 1 week.
Medical Frontiers was an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers was intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.